is filled with praise. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. We certainly do love him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a moment. Amen. We've so enjoyed the service this morning. And Lord knows just what we need, when we need it, how we need it. And, you know, that was a lot of nuggets, a lot of things that we heard that we needed to hear, and something for each and every one of us. And, you know, many times some of you will come and say, that was 100% for me. And I say, well, it couldn't be, because somebody else said the same thing. So, you know, that's just how this works. And pulling the gift of God. But my wife and I were discussing with our grandkids on the way to church, you know, something that I don't want to pass from our thinking quickly. And that is, what if this was your last day? What would you do? My wife said, well, there wouldn't be enough time to get it done. Right? Well, let's get busy then. Whatever it is that you would do, let's, you know, what a thought. Okay, today's my last day. How am I going to treat that person? I mean, we've heard it said different ways, right? And maybe it just becomes common to us, the different ways, right? Live today like it's your last day. Live for the Lord like he's coming today, but plant your potatoes like he's not coming in your lifetime or whatever, right? But what if this was your last day? It just seems to bring it a little closer, doesn't it? You know, what would you allow to go, something that you mean to make right? What would you let go, and what would you make right? You know, we get busy and we think we got time. That's the point, right? It's not that you don't intend to make something right or get something done or whatever it is, right? But if this was your last day, Lord, help that to stick with us. Amen. So we certainly do appreciate our brother Daryl, and we know that, he was taken off the scene for about a month because of a problem that he's had in his back, which we believe the Lord is working on and interceding. But he's had to stay home for about a month, and that's hard for a fellow like him because he doesn't know how to stop. And he just feels that press and that pressure, and, you know, and you've got meetings that you've planned and different things. So let's just continue to keep our brother in prayer, you know. The fact that Satan's fighting him so hard shows how important he is to the rest of the body and how he is to us personally. So will you do that? Will you bring him up before the throne? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So without further ado, we'd like to invite our brother to come, and just whatever the Lord puts on his heart, that's what we want. And I was telling the brother before service, I said, you know, I'm so glad that it isn't up to me to figure out what I'm supposed to preach. You know, I'm so glad that it's in his hands, because how would you figure it out? How would you decide what you're supposed to bring? And Brother Daryl said, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we're counting on, you know. So we just looking to him. He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. in. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. But I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows.
Share something with you. About a year ago, I guess it was, I was preaching a meeting up in Cottonwood, Arizona. And I woke up that morning, I had a terrible headache. I was so sick with a headache. I had to preach. Brother Dale Smith, I know y'all know Brother Dale, and he came down to my room, prayed for me. Went out that morning and we preached, and while we was preaching, the headache went away, and after the service was over, about, you know how it is, Brother Doug, about 30, 40 minutes, felt it coming back on a little bit, and I was kind of down. I guess I was homesick. I'd been pushing it pretty hard, been traveling quite a bit, hadn't seen a lot of my family, and I was coming up out of Cottonwood, headed up towards Flagstaff, and I began to talk to the Lord, and I'll be honest with you, I was just whining, just to tell you. I was just whining. I said, Lord, I said, do you even know I'm out here, Lord? Do you, am I doing any good? Maybe I should just go home and sit down, you know. I said, am I accomplishing anything for you? And I was just opening up my heart, I was just homesick, I guess, and down a little bit. And I saw a sign that said scenic view, 1 mile. And I just pulled in there. And when I pulled in, it looked like nobody had been there in a year. It was all growed up, cups laying everywhere. And there's a little concrete bench out there, just one little bench, and I thought, I love the mountains around here, and I thought, you know, I'll just get out and look at those mountains. And I got out and sat down on that little concrete seat there, and I began to talk to the Lord again. I said, Lord, do you even know my name? Do you even know I'm even out here, Lord? And I just began to pray, and when I said amen, I looked laying beside me. There's a little plastic silver coin. And I thought, where did that come from? And I picked the coin up and I looked at it, and it, on the front of the coin it said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. I set you aside for service. And I thought, Brother Kenny, he knows my name. Hallelujah. He knows our name, church. He knows everything about us. When we're up, when we're down, when we're sick, when we're well, when we're on fire, when we're struggling. And He loves us anyhow. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. And when I turned the coin over on the other side of it, it was Jeremiah 29:11. Lord, forgive me for whining. I just wanted to share that with you. He knows our name. Do you love Him this evening? If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Exodus. We greet you once again in the name of the Lord. And we're just so grateful for His presence that we felt among us here this weekend and the lives that he touched this morning. And just so appreciated the love of God, and certainly good to see everyone again. And we always enjoy coming this way. And I know I ain't no kind of a preacher, but sometimes you make me feel that way. I appreciate that. May the Lord bless you richly. And I just look forward to the day that we all go up to Daddy's house. You know, just won't it be wonderful, friends, just to sit there in 10,000 years and still have another 10,000 and a 10,000. Oh, my. Don't miss it. Whatever we do, let's make sure we're there that day. I want to read from Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 11 this evening. We appreciate Brother Doug allowing us to come and be here this weekend. And may the Lord richly bless you. Bring your greetings from my family at home. And amen. I certainly appreciate to being here. Exodus 3:11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said unto Moses, he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Notice he didn't say maybe, could be, perhaps. He said, when you come out, you shall serve me on this mountain. Exodus 15:22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Amen. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you this evening for a few minutes to show us his love. To show us his love. Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you this evening how much you mean to us, Lord. And we want to thank you, dear God, for every blessing that you've ever given us. And Lord, we want to thank you for every trial that you in your wisdom has allowed to come into our lives. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to us, Lord, that your promises are true. And Father, that you have a plan for every one of our lives. Lord, you are not the author of confusion. But everything that you do, there is a purpose, dear God, in doing it. We can have confidence in you, Lord, that you are our God. You are our shield. You are our comfort, our joy, our peace, our healer. Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, may you just come, Lord, tonight and take this simple thought, Lord, and make it real to the people, Father. May they see just how great thou art, Lord, and how much your love has been given to us. And Lord, as we find the days ahead when there's yet many trials, Lord, left to face, may we have this confidence, Lord, that you love us, that you are bringing us to our mountain, Lord, that you have given us through the promises of your word. Bless Brother Doug, Lord. Bless the ministers here in Arizona, dear God. Their little bride represented here. Bless them richly, Lord. Father, we probably never be back this way this year, Lord. As we go into another year, may they prosper, grow stronger, Lord. May they fall deeper in love with you, Lord, as they fall deeper in love with one another. And Lord, may we bear one another's burdens. And may we go forth with this attitude that they're not heavy. They're my brother. Amen. Grant it, Lord, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Jeremiah 29:11, as I said, my favorite scripture, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And what comforting words that is to know that God has it all in control. That when God thinks of us, He doesn't think evil thoughts, but He thinks thoughts of peace. Then anything that God would allow to come into our life that maybe you say, I don't understand why I'm dealing this, we can have this confidence that no matter what we're facing in life, it's somehow going to work out for our good. Because that's why God allows these things to come. No trial ever placed upon us is put upon a believer to destroy them. But it's put upon us to make us stronger and better Christians. With a greater faith, you see, my brother, my sister, your faith grows the strongest in times of great stress. Amen. Amen. And many times God allows things just to show us how much that He loves us. You know, He must have been happy in His heart as He rose up and adjusted Himself in His chair and looked out over His kingdom. A kingdom that had been built upon the backs of Hebrew slaves. For this man had in his kingdom over 2 million Hebrew slaves who believed in a desert God that they said would one day deliver them. Why shouldn't he be happy? He had inherited this throne from his father. He was Ramesses, the ruler of Egypt, the strongest kingdom, a great nation, a great army, great wealth. No one could shake his kingdom. Who would dare lead an army against him? Who would dare raise up a rebellion from among the slaves? For he had the power to shut down anybody that come against him. But little did he realize how sad it is sometimes that people have such a false security. They'll trust in a government or they'll trust in a political affiliation. But there's nothing outside of Christ the Word. Oh, everything else is sinking sands. On Christ the solid rock I stand. So he thought he had it all. He thought he was in control. But little did he realize that this desert God these slaves worshipped was not a God of their imagination. This desert God they worshipped, he was the God. Oh, I like to say that. He was the God. Not a God, the God. Amen. He had promised Abraham that his seed would sojourn in a strange land. But he promised him, I will bring them out. Unlike the gods of Egypt, this God had the power to speak the word and to keep the word that he spoke. Amen. Not only keep it and not only speak it, but perform it. Oh, hallelujah. Perform his word. This God, the God, never forgets a promise of his word. Amen. The prophet of God said the ever remembering God remembers every promise of his word. God don't forget nothing when it comes to the promises of his word. God never forgets a promise in season. In due time, it may not be your time, it may not be my time, but in God's time, even when we think God's 4 days late, he's still right on time. Hallelujah. Amen. In the season, in the time, God always makes his promise right. Therefore, we can rest assured that whatever God said he's going to do, he will do it. Ain't no need to try to think, well, perhaps the prophet was wrong. No, sir. If it's thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
It's thus saith the Lord. God don't lie. Amen. No matter how ridiculous it seems. Sometimes I think God likes for it to look ridiculous. Amen. He does it anyhow. Every time when my daughter was hurt from the train accident and she was just a vegetable, every time the doctor said she'll never do this, she'd start doing it. Oh, I just loved it. They said she'll never talk again. She started talking. Never walk again. She started walking. Never see again. She started seeing. She'll never go to public school. Graduate with honors. Every time they said he can't, God said I can. Oh, hallelujah. I told my wife in those days, I said, I wish they'd tell us something else she couldn't do. Come on, tell us something else she can't do. Oh, because my God keeps his promise. He spoke to me that afternoon out there in the waiting area. He spoke to me and said, your daughter shall not die. Oh, I worked with the doctors. When I went back to work, they told me, said, we thought she lost your mind. We thought she had a nervous breakdown. You started telling us she wouldn't die. We said, oh, we're worried about Ward. He's lost his mind. I said, I did lose my mind. I got the mind of Christ. Amen. No matter how much science can't prove it. Well, according to this MRI, according to CT. But what about according to the Word of God? Amen. Amen. God does it anyhow. Amen. Amen. Let science say he can't do something. God, show him who boss is. Amen. God's true to his promise. No matter what God has to do, he'll bankrupt heaven before he'll let one promise go defeated. God's never made a promise that he can't keep. Oh, I like to brag on my God. He had inherited this throne. He was happy ruling over the slaves, enjoying his Laodicea position, having need of nothing. But that was fixing to change. God was fixing to take his kingdom down. Because God was remembering his promise. God was taking his children. Amen. I want you to understand, God didn't go steal those slaves from Pharaoh. He said, go down there and tell them, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Hallelujah. He didn't go steal a bunch of slaves. He came to get his children. But you see, my brother, my sister, when we take this rapture, he's not coming for a church. He's coming for his own. Oh, glory to God. Amen. The season of their deliverance had come. And when the gears of time kicked into motion, nothing would stop it from coming to pass. God brought that promise to manifestation. He split the sea. He destroyed Pharaoh's kingdom. He sent plagues. He performed miracles. He trumped every Egyptian god, showing them, I am the true and living God. Huh? You know, God sent 10 plagues. 10 plagues. And Egypt had 10 most worshipped gods. They had all kinds of gods, but they were 10 that they worshipped the most. And God sent a plague and trumped every one of their gods. Let me show you what I mean. 10 plagues for the 10 most worshipped gods of Egypt. The water of the river Nile, God turned it to blood for 7 days. The Egyptians had a god by the name of Hapi, H-A-P-I, God of the Nile. God turned the Nile to blood, but their god could not turn it back to water. Frogs came out of the rivers. The Egyptians had a god by the name of Heket, H-E-K-E-T, the Egyptian goddess of fertility, water, and renewal. The head of this god was the head of a frog. Well, glory. Whoa, whoa. He brought lice from the dust of the earth. And the Egyptians had a god by the name of Jeb, G-E-B. I know I'm butchering these names, but hey, I'm from Tennessee, you know. the God of Jeb, which was God of the earth. God brought swarms of flies, created them. The Egyptians had a God by the name of K-H-E-P-R-I, God of creation. He took ashes and turned to bulls and sores. And the Egyptians had a God by the name of Isis, the God of medicine. But their God couldn't do anything with the bulls. Well, glory. It rained hail from the sky and turned to fire on the ground. And the Egyptians had a God by the name of Nut, N-U-T, which is really all their gods. Bunch of nuts. They had a God by the name of Nut, the goddess of the sky. Here's my favorite one. God put 3 days of darkness in Egypt. And the Egyptians had a God by the name of Ra, R-A, God of the sun. God put darkness upon Egypt, but their sun God could not take the darkness away. He trumped every one of their idol gods and showed them he was the one true God who kept his word, who remembered his promise. And here they came out of bondage. They were on a march after being separated and called out people. They were think about it. They were a people with a prophet, with a message, with a pillar of fire in an Exodus. Let me say that again. They were a people with a message, with a prophet, with a pillar of fire in an Exodus. Can I say that one more time? They were a people with a message, with a prophet, with a pillar of fire in an Exodus. They were happy. Are you happy? They were rejoicing. They were shouting. They were dancing. Why? They had a prophet with a message and a pillar of fire. Marching, worshiping, praising God. And where did he lead them? Where did he lead them? Right to the Red Sea. Here they were singing. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, hallelujah. And all at once, Joshua no doubt leading them. Up ahead, young men marching free, excited, on fire. Oh God, that's how we need our young people. On fire. Perhaps it was Joshua, I don't know, but somebody saw the Red Sea. Whoa! Stop! Stop! Everybody started backing up. What's going on up there? We're trying to have church. What's happening? It's a sea. 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 Started going through the ranks. There's a Red Sea. We're an Exodus people. Where'd the sea come from? They come to the Red Sea. They had to call a halt. They couldn't cross over. The great general raised up and whoa! Sat down to rest to figure it out. What's going on? And all of a sudden, they heard the rumble behind them and they looked. Here came Pharaoh and his army. Not just their army, the greatest army. Fastest horses, best spears, best helmets, best trained soldiers. A mountain on one side, desert on the other, Red Sea in front of them. And here come Pharaoh behind them. Moving in to block them off. All the shouting stopped. All the worship stopped. All the praise stopped. Then they begin to murmur. They begin to cry. They got scared. They begin to cry to Moses. How soon they forgot what God did for them. Ain't it something? When everything's going good and we're on fire and we're praying, and the first trial, we forget everything that's happened. Who are you preaching to? Myself. Y'all just sit there for a few minutes. How soon they forgot what God did for them. Listen, I'm not belittling anybody. We have real trials. We have real battles. We deal with real problems, real sickness. You may be bound by something that's got a hold in your life. But I say to you tonight, if God ever healed you one time, cannot God heal you again? If God ever delivered you one time, cannot God do it again? He's God. If he done it once, he can do it again. God was ever real to you one time when you knelt at an altar and you met him in the reality of a saving grace. That same God never changes. Moses cried unto the Lord, and God spoke back to Moses, said, Moses, just speak and go for it. I've done told you my thoughts concerning you. I've done told you, Moses, when you come out, serve me on this mountain. You shall serve me on this mountain. You see, as far as God was concerned, they were already there. We'll let that sink in for a while. As far as God was concerned, they were already on the mountain. How can that be? Because he spoke it. Amen. Amen. God said, just speak, Moses. Moses walked up there, stretched that rod before the sea, walked back to the camp. That evening, Mama braided a little girl's hair, you know, maybe Sarah's hair. Sarah said, Mama, what do you reckon going to happen, Mama? She said, honey, don't you worry. God sent us a prophet. That message, it'll lead us out. Don't worry, honey. God's got it in control. We serve the living God. Mama, you think it'll be all right? Oh, yes, honey. You just don't worry about it now. Let me just braid your hair. Don't you worry about it. It'll be all right. God's got it all in control. About that time, a little breeze just started blowing that little fuzz on the side of the head, just enough to start kissing her cheek a little bit. Just started getting stronger and stronger. Oh, God. Sometimes it's just one little grain of sand that rose off the mountain. But the mountain's being moved. It started out just a gentle breeze, just enough to blow a little girl's hair. And it got stronger and stronger. And finally God breathed upon the Red Sea and the water began to part. Let me tell you, I'd say we have church tonight if that happened around here. The water. Again, Brother Henry, not only did he split the water, he dried up the ground. God said, you know what? Your shoes ain't even going to get muddy. And here they went again. Let's go. God's with us. Started moving across the Red Sea. On dry ground. But you see, God just dried the ground up enough for them to get across. The deliverance was for them. And Pharaoh saw them go across. Pharaoh said, I'm just as good as they are. If they went across, we can go across. No, they can't. It's not for them. Where we're going, they can't go. This rapture ain't for the world. This rapture ain't for the organization. It ain't for the denomination. It's for God's people. I say to you, I say to Laodicea, get a good look at us. Laugh at us while you can. Make fun of us at Walmart while you can. Because someday soon, you'll see us no more. Amen. They went across on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, here come Pharaoh. And his chariots. If they can do it, we can do it. It's not your deliverance. It's not for you. And the water began to come together and drowned them into the sea. He drowned his army in the sea. And when Miriam, when she saw that her enemy was drowning, she grabbed a Pentecostal instrument. When she looked and saw the man that beat her, that abused her, that mistreated her, floating in the sea, she got happy. She got happy. She began to dance. And it went from one to the other to the other. And they all began to dance up and down the bank. That sounds like revival to me. That sounds like victory to me. Her laid the dead ones, the ones that had laughed at her, had mocked her, had made fun of her. They were floating in the Red Sea. Her enemy was dead. And when that thing that bothers you is dead, when you get over that sin that that taskmaster holds on you, when you realize it's dead and you're free, it's time to dance. Brother, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to go to dance 101. Learn how to dance. Learn how to get happy. I'm not going to need the song leader to pump me up. I'm going to practice while I'm here. And when I get there, I'm going to shout all over heaven. I'm going to sing all over heaven. I'm going to dance all over heaven. Why? I've made it home. Amen. He said, well, someday, some happy day. But let me tell you, my brother, my sister, I say you to you tonight, if you can see the promises of God are for you, if you can see that he's your deliverer, if you can see he's done spoke you in the rapture, if you can see that he sent a pillar of fire and a prophet to find you, if you can see God's gave you a messenger and a message, if you can see that God has got you in an exodus, I tell you, you can shout now. Our enemy is dead. You know, I heard a story. Fella down here in Arizona found a rattlesnake in his garage. He cut its head off. Threw the snake out there in the yard. You know how the snakes do when they cut their head off and they just keep wiggling. That's the way they do back east. Maybe they don't do that out here, but back east they'll wiggle all day long sometimes. They do that here? Yes, no, maybe you've never killed one. Don't know. Don't care. Okay. Cut their head off and throw them out in the yard. They'll just wiggle. You can pick them up and they'll just wiggle in your hand. Well, the man, he cut the snake's head off, threw it out in the yard, and his boy came out eating a popsicle. He said, Daddy, there's a snake out here in the yard. His daddy yelled from God and said, don't worry, son, he's dead. He said, no, Daddy, this snake's still moving. This must be a different snake. This one's moving. No, son, it's the same snake. I cut his head off. The head's over there. That's his body. The snake is dead. It was a, well, he don't know it. That's the way the devil is. He's dead. He just don't know it. He's got no power. He's just a bluff. He's bluffing you. He's dead. His stinger was pulled out at Calvary. He's a bee, but he ain't got no sting. And here they went again, worshiping, praising God. Hallelujah, big time. Beating tambourines, dancing in the presence of God, having revival through the wilderness, an old-fashioned meeting on their journey to the mountain that God gave them. Another great victory for Jehovah. 3 days they marched, all their families, all the cattle, all the animals, mules, 3 days they marched with no water. And it's something, God split a sea and they went across. And after all that water God split, now they ain't got no water. 3 days. A single day in the wilderness without water would be tolerable. 2 days, would be difficult. There'd be some grouch spots in that bunch. 3 days would be impossible. The heat of the desert in the day. Y'all know about the desert more than I do. But the heat in the day and the cold at night. How it would wear on your body. Unable to rest because you was miserable. No water. Your mouth was dry. Your skin was dry. Everything was irritating. Everything was irritating. The baby's crying. The mule. Everything was just irritating. 3 days with no rest. No water. 3 days with no water. Trying to keep the animals, trying to keep the children, trying to keep the babies. 3 days through a desert with no water. And after 3 days, all at once, Joshua spotted water. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the excitement for 3 days? And now there's an oasis in front of you. There's water. And the shout began to go through the camp. Water! Water! Pass it on! We found water! The animals begin to sense it. They begin to break loose. The animals begin to run. The young men begin to run. The kids, they begin to run towards the water. Joshua gets there. He gets down. He gets the water. Get back! Get back! It's bitter. The water is bitter. Bitter. The water's bitter. 3 days with no water, and you find water, and the water is bitter. He leads us to bitter waters. To be disappointed. Having no water, then finding water. And the water would be bitter. It would make the situation even worse. To be so thirsty, to be so dry, to be so dusty, the sweat, the weariness, to find the water. It would have been better to find none than to find it and it be bitter. What a slap in the face. What an insult it seems like. To find water. The water is bitter. To hear the children say, Mama, please. Please, Mama, let me drink the water. I'm so thirsty, Mama. No, Sarah, honey, you can't drink it. You can't drink the water. Why would he do that? Why would he lead them to bitter waters? We're his people. We follow his message. Why would he let our church burn? Why would he let sickness strike our family? Why would he do this? We bear the reproach of the message. Doesn't he love us? Why would he do us that way? It looked like God would have bypassed that. But he led them right straight to it. You think God didn't know? God knew the water was there. God directed Moses to cut down a tree and to throw the tree into the water. The Bible said when Moses cut the tree down and threw it into the water, the bitter water became sweet. You see, the answer to their bitter waters was on the bank with them. And the answer to every question, to every problem, to every sickness. Come on, somebody. Our answer is with us. Christ is the answer. He was the answer yesterday. He's the answer today. And if there is a tomorrow, he will be the answer tomorrow. our answer is right here with us now. God has a tree for every bitter water you face. It's Calvary's tree, where Christ took the bitter waters and made them sweet. You see this tree that Moses cut down? It was a hyssop tree. The same one they used to strike the blood over the doorpost to apply the token. The same tree. Showing what, Brother Darrell? It's showing that faith applied to any promise will bring that promise to pass. What was God showing them? What was He showing them? Look at the pattern. The Egyptian gods, the Red Sea, the taskmasters, the bitter waters. He done told Moses, when you come out, bring the people to this mountain to worship me. As far as God was concerned, they were already on the mountain. The word declared it. Nothing can pluck His children from His hand. Nothing can stop His promises from coming to pass, from being fulfilled. Then why the bitter waters? Why didn't He do them like He did Philip? He picked up Philip and carried him 29 miles away and set him down in another city, the city of Azotus. Is that not true? Well, friends, I ain't too smart, but I am smart enough to know that if the Spirit of God can pick up one man and take him somewhere, He can pick everybody else up and take him somewhere. So why didn't He just pick them all up, set them over on the mountain? Why the Red Sea? Why the taskmasters? Why the desert walk? Why the bitter waters? Why 3 days in the desert? You see, the reason the prophet said God lets us come down to the end of the road sometimes is because He loves us. And He wants to prove His supernaturalness of His power. Because He loves us. That's the reason He does it. He just lets you get right down to that place to where you're just about ready to make your last step. And then He steps in on the scene to show you how much He loves you. He let the Hebrew children walk right in the fiery furnace. But He was the fourth man that fanned the flames. Oh God. Amen. Amen. He's always there. He never leaves. He's always near. The angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear His name. He wanted to show them how much He loved them. I love you so much. I'll destroy gods for you. I'll destroy kingdoms for you. I'll split the Red Sea for you. I love you so much I'll dry up the ground so your shoes don't even get muddy. Brother Bim said sometimes God has to lay us on our backs so we'll look up once in a while. He wanted to show His love. He wanted to show His power. He wanted them to understand it. Just how big He is. And sometimes God will allow great trials, great difficulties when it seems like there's no way out, just so that He can come in on the scene and show you, I am your God. I've got it all in control. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother said, I think a lot of times the reason that we get into tight places is God wants to reveal and to show us His love and to prove to us He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His power is still the same. I don't have to go back to 1965 and find the tape and hear Brother Ben pray for a blind child and their eyes come open. I see it every day. I see it every day of my life. I don't have to go back 50 years. I just have to go to my house. I've seen the God that done that in 65. I've seen the God do that in 95. Come on, somebody. I've seen God. Yes, sir. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not lost His power. Our God's not a puny God. Our God is the God. He loves to show us His love. Desert places, hot places, sickness, trials, tests, church trouble, family trouble, marriage trouble. He allows these things to come so that he can step in and show you his supernaturalness. God gave you a nice church right over there. Then it got on fire. That looked pretty bad. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody burn the church down? God gave you a nice church. Now you're going to get a nicer church. But praise God. Amen. He's got it all in control. He can take the biggest punch that Satan has and turn it around and bring the greatest victory. Satan thought he'd done something so big when he killed Jesus at Calvary that day. He thought he was on top of the world, but little did he know, he made the biggest mistake of his life. From that weakness come the greatest victory. You know, here a few years ago, I was over in Kentucky. I won't keep you long tonight. I know you got school tomorrow and work. A few years ago, I was hunting over in Kentucky, and I went down off of a holler down into a rut and came back up on the other side. I thought, ain't nobody been in these woods for years. I was, you know how you think to yourself. So, you know, I'm at that age I could talk to myself and get away with it. You know, probably the last person been through here was Daniel Boone. I just walking through those woods. I thought, yeah, there ain't nobody been around here in years. And then I saw a water bottle. So I was coming up over this hill, and right there in front of me was a flower. This flower was so pretty that I stopped. It was really actually a weed. The middle of it was the most radiant yellow I've ever seen in my life. And the petals around it was like a blue-purple looking color. Man, I mean, it just popped. And I was walking through there, and whoa, little fella, where'd you come from? And I got to looking at that. And I thought, you know, you should be in the president's house. You're so pretty. You should be at Buckingham Palace. You should be on the Queen's desk. What are you doing out here in these woods where nobody sees you? And I got to thinking how great God is. Now, if you're a drywall man, forgive me, but they tell me if you want to see a good drywall man, look in the closet. Because they'll do their best work in the living room, and if they're sloppy, they'll cut corners in the closet. So look inside the closet, and if you see that it's excellent job, that's a good drywall man. You see, this flower wasn't in Buckingham Palace. It wasn't at the president. It was out in the woods, and yet God had every detail, meticulous detail. Didn't cut corners. Well, nobody will see this flower, so it don't have to be as yellow or it don't have to be as purple. I'll just make it kind of dull and kind of... No! Out there in the middle of nowhere, yet the detail was so striking that I stopped walking to look at it. I thought, God, why would you put something like that out here in these woods? Why would you spend so much detail to make such a beautiful weed? It wasn't even a flower. It was a weed. And while I was standing there looking at it, something spoke to me. It said, who saw it? And I said, I did. Something just spoke to my heart. I put it there for you. I put it there for you. Perhaps nobody else the rest of the year ever walked through those woods. Maybe nobody ever saw that flower again. But God put a little flower in the woods. So one of his children could see it. That they would say, how great. How great you are. You see, it's not always bitter waters It's not always bitter waters. Sometimes it's just a flower in the woods. Just to show us how great He is. And to show us just how much He loves us. I love you so much. I'll destroy a kingdom for you. I love you so much. I'll part water for you. I'll take bitter water, make it sweet. I love you so much. I will allow a sickness to come on you. And the doctors say there's no hope. The doctor said we're certain it's cancer. And then they'll find none. Just to let you know, I'm mindful of you. I can't. Just to let you know, I care. I care. You know, here some time ago, I was up north, we'll close, but as a woman come to up for prayer, she had a tumor behind her ear. This tumor was so big that when she walked, it swung out from behind her ear. When I laid my hands on her to pray for her, and I touched it, it made me so sick. I thought I was going to vomit right there. It just made me sick at my stomach to even touch it. But it wasn't me. It was this woman's faith. This woman's faith was so great. I thought they're fixing to tear this church down. Because that tumor's fixing to fall off in the floor. I just knew it. Because her faith was so great. I could feel it coming from. I could feel, you know what I'm talking about. Me brothers never prayed for the sick. You know what I'm talking about. You can just feel it sometimes. So I laid my hands on this woman. And I prayed for her. And I have never been so disappointed in all my life. When she turned around and walked off. And that tumor was still behind her ear. Brother Harry, I didn't understand it. I just knew it was going to happen, Brother JJ. And weeks went by, and I just kept pondering in my heart. I thought, I don't understand. Lord, I don't understand. I'm not questioning, but I don't understand why it didn't fall off. And me and Brother David Seiler, you know Brother David, we was going to a meeting together. He used to be my traveling buddy somewhere. We had some great times together. I'm sure missed him out on the field. But we was going up the road, and I was telling him, I said, Brother David, I don't understand it. I told him what happened. I said, have you ever seen anything like that? He said, no, I don't believe I have. I said, I don't understand, David, why that didn't. And God's mercy and His love. I was telling David that. And just a few minutes, my phone went off. And it was a text from a brother. And he said, Brother Darrell, I'm here at a certain church. And a certain sister came up to me and said, do you know Brother Darrell? I said, sure I know Brother Darrell. Said, you got his number? Yeah, I've got his number. Said, send Brother Darrell a text and tell him. 2 days after he prayed for me, I was walking through the house and the tumor fell off in the floor. But I said that to say this. I believe he allowed her to tell him to send me that text. Because he wanted me to know that's how much he loves us. And how can we show our love to him? By believing him and conducting ourselves as Christians amidst the trials that he, in his wisdom, allows to come into our lives. Because every trial, every test, every problem, every situation is an opportunity for us to see how great He is and to see just how much He loves us. Amen. We're in an Exodus, friends. He's going to take care of us. Don't worry. We're marching towards Zion. You see, in God's mind, we've already made it. As you approach this coming year, just a few days away now, it'll be just like that. This whole year will be winding down. You'll have your New Year's Eve service and go into another year. But if we're here next year, all year, we'll keep on pressing. We'll keep on marching. We'll keep on preaching. We'll keep on believing. Because we're going. You see, my brother, my sister, when you go to heaven, you're not going to a place you've never been. When you go to heaven, you're just going home. Don't worry, friends. We're marching towards Zion. Amen. Conduct yourself with joy. He makes every bitter water sweet just to show us how much He loves us. Do you love Him tonight? Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, just a simple little thought this evening. But Lord, it just weighed on my heart. I even looked, Lord, all afternoon of going a different direction and just kept coming back to this, Lord. It seemed like all weekend, Lord, the themes, the songs has been about Your love, Lord. Oh, God, the most wonderful feeling in the world is to be loved. How great it is to be loved by not a God, but by the God. Lord, how we thank You tonight, God. And Lord, may the people realize maybe they're going through a trial right now, Lord. Maybe there's situations in their homes. I don't know, Lord. But I know that You do know every heart here, every life, what everybody's facing, Lord. You know what tomorrow will bring, God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that when we come to the bitter waters, we come to the dryness of the desert, Lord, or it seems like we're blocked off by something that's so much greater than we are. May we realize, Lord, that many times in our walk, You allow these things to come so that You can come on the scene and show us just how much You love us. Oh, Lord. May this be the night, Lord. Maybe someone's sick. Maybe they've been through a real battle, Lord, wrestling something that's got a hold of their life, Father. But may this be the night that the arm of the Lord is revealed unto them. May this be the night that they see how great that You are. And Lord, rather than worrying about the problem or complaining about the problem, may they just rejoice, Lord, because they have found confidence in Your eyes. For the prophet said in Victory Day, the more loyal, the more tested. Father, may we conduct ourselves as sons and daughters of God. Oh, Lord, may Your Spirit move upon us tonight, God. Just do something wonderful in the midst of the congregation, Lord. Oh, may we not look to the Red Sea. May we not look to the bitter waters. May we not look to the doctor's reports. But may we look to Isaiah's report tonight, Father. Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for allowing me to come back on the field. I want to thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for me while I was down, Lord. Oh, God, I love You tonight. I don't want to serve You, Lord. Can you see tonight, my brother, my sister? Can you see just how much He loves you? Say, Brother Darrell, I'm going through such a hard time. But that don't mean He don't love you. That's probably the best evidence that He does. Because He's molding a character in you that's fit to reign. Can you just receive it tonight? Can you just receive the mighty hand of God tonight, Lord? Whatever You and Your wisdom would allow to come into my life, I receive that tonight, Lord. Lord, I'm not a baby. I'm not immature. I'm a son of God. Lord, I'll conduct myself as that. I'll conduct myself as a daughter of God amidst the trials You allow to come into my life. And Lord, when You do a great thing for me, I'll testify. I'll let the world know You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my overcomer. Oh, hallelujah. I will testify of the goodness of my God. I will stand in the marketplace and declare His name. For there is no God like my God. There is no God like our God. How we love You tonight, Lord. How we love You tonight. Oh, blessed be Your name, Lord. Oh, blessed be Your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, can you just worship Him tonight? Can you just feel His love tonight? Can you just see how much He loves you? Oh, don't you see, friend? He sent us a prophet with a message, with a pillar of fire. We're in an exodus. He's got us in control. He's in control of every situation tonight. Just love him. Just keep marching. Just keep walking. Just keep looking to the unseen, that pulsating of the Holy Spirit. Just love him and worship him and magnify his name. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. Can you shout the victory before the wall ever comes down? How much can you walk around that sickness? How much can you walk around that defeat? How much can you walk around that hardship that you're facing in your life right now and shout the victory? Because your God is the God. Your God is the Almighty God tonight. And in Him we have the victory. In Him we have the victory tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Let the shout be in the camp. Let the praise be in the camp. Let the world know we are a free people. The blood of the Lamb of God has made us free. Listen, I was down in Florida here a while back. There's a sign down there at the Air Force Base. The people around the Air Force Base was complaining because the noise the jets were making. And they wanted them to shut it down a little bit. So the Air Force put this big sign out in front of the gate. Said, pardon the noise, but it's the sound of freedom. Oh, I say tonight, I might get a little bit loud. I might embarrass you. But if I jump, if I shout, I ask you, pardon the noise. It's just the sound of freedom. I am free. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord our hand and a clap of praise. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's praise Him tonight. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise tonight. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm amazed that He loves me. You know that song? Sing it for us, Brother Kenny. Oh, let's worship Him tonight. I'm amazed that He loves me. Amen, 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 amen.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.
Everybody now. Oh,
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.
I'm amazed
that you love me.
God bless you, saints. Do you love Him?
I'm amazed.
Oh,
how you care. All my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I've failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And you.